Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So we've been watching the story for a couple of days now. This is obviously on the back of now six children who have died after consuming what is believed to be snacks from a local spaza shop in Soweto in Naledi. Of course, there was a lot of uproar by the community. We've ourselves had conversations with the city of Johannesburg, different MMCs, just asking the question, you know, how much work has gone into inspecting what those spaza shops are selling, how legally operating they are, and so on. So we have seen some movement since then. And now today, there was the Consumer Commission has gone and inspected some of those spaza shops. Head of Complaints at the National Consumer Commission, Prudence Muilwa, is on the line with us. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome, Ms. Muilwa.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Maybe just give us background as to, you know, what kind of instance or incidents warrants you going into, what I would call, and I don't even know if this is a sting operation, but it seems to us like it is a sting operation. Give us a sense of, for those who are in other communities, what does it take for yourselves to go out to investigate what people have been complaining about?
Yeah, thank you, Pamela. You know, I think in terms of the program of the commission, that actually we took a conscious decision at the beginning of this calendar year to do the nationwide inspections, mainly to ensure compliance and also to mitigate the risk of the incidents, if you can remember, that had happened, I think, the year before.
Last year, yeah.
So we took a conscious decision that we will go on a national drive to conduct inspections, mainly to ensure compliance with the labeling regulations, as well as to ensure that goods that have expired or that are not of good quality are not in the market. And also to get the local authorities just to galvanize in areas where we go to, because obviously we can't inspect in those areas all the time. We need to have a national spread. We then want to galvanize the local authorities to continue the inspections in the way that we are encouraging them to do when we go, and have a multidisciplinary teams on the ground to encourage the EHPs, which are the environmental health practitioners, the police, as well as the local other local authorities, including the local offices of consumer protection, to continue in those operations. Not necessarily sting operations. In terms of the act, it's called market monitoring. And with those market monitoring, we then ensure compliance. And when we find non-compliance, we would then do formal investigations where possible, issue compliance cases, in cases where we think the spread of the non-compliance is not so bad. And then in certain instances, we would want to also move ahead with prosecutions.
So obviously you're going to have to deal with the speculation that this is reactionary. Yes, you're telling me that you had a nationwide inspection program that was underway anyway. Yeah. But respond to that. Those who are saying, well, you're only coming out after the fact.
No, it's not true, actually. We did these inspections, I think, as a build-up to World Consumer Rights Day. We were in Bloemfontein, in the Free State, actually. We covered Mangaung, we covered Sasolburg, we covered generally areas, Welkom, the areas around Mangaung. And we also, I think, recently issued compliance notices to the parties or the suppliers who are not compliant. We've done the Northern Cape in the recent past, I think 2 months ago, even last month. We did Tembisa with the Department of Economic Development here in Gauteng. We did Limpopo. We've also done other areas as well. We did the Northwest, I think, also in the last financial year. So on an ongoing basis, we are on the ground to ensure compliance with the regulations. So it's not necessarily true that we're only being reactionary. So this is the type of work that we do, because we've seen that in most instances, it also encourages regulators on the ground or officials on the ground to continue then with those inspection drives. We know that there are limited resources, obviously, but we've seen that when we do galvanize this type of inspections, or this type of inspections, galvanize support as well as prevalent inspections nationwide. So we are sort of happy that, you know, after we've done a province, they then continue with the work of inspections. And as a National Office of Consumer Protection, we then wanted to continue. This particular one, we actually did it also targeting Naledi, obviously, after this has happened, but in a way of showing that we needed to then go through the area where the incidents are. Currently, we have a team of inspectors in Buffalo City, also as a way of responding to this, not necessarily being reactionary, but also responding to the fact that where there is then a problem, we can also target those areas, even within our national program of inspection. Mm-hmm. So while we do have a nationwide inspection drive, when there are this type of incidents, it's not only then that we do inspections, but we will target them just to ensure total compliance in those areas, because they would also indicate that there are issues on the ground in those particular areas.
So just maybe by way of percentage, when you do these drives, and you've given me a number of the ones that you've already done, what's compliance like on the ground?
I can tell you now that, you know, it's really not so good. We're not seeing very good results. I think what was very worrying was that our first inspections in Naledi yesterday, even after the incident that has taken place, we still see the shops still selling goods that have expired, things that are not labeled, and even things, you know, also the prevalence of, you know, the spaza shops not having certificates of acceptability that are issued by the municipalities as and when they sell foodstuff. And today also, what we also picked up is that there's actually specific suppliers that these spaza shops use, especially in the supply of these chips, as well as the supply of meat products that are not labeled at all. So where consumers would not even have any idea. Like, for example, we were asking one spaza owner to say, now, when you sell vors, that clearly looks like it is off and it has no label at all, how can you tell when it is good for consumption by consumers? Mm. Just as a way of highlighting to them that the importance of labeling is that it gives you a sense, even as a shop owner, as to when the goods are good for your own customers. And also we were emphasizing the importance of selling good quality foods while we were enforcing legislation, of course, to hold them accountable, to show them the importance of the consequences of what might happen even when you feed people in your communities. What is also interesting is that it's not only foreign nationals, it's people who run the spaza shops, who grew up in these communities, who literally sometimes, you know, drop the ball. While the compliance levels in those ones are not as bad as the other ones, you find that they actually are not conscious of the fact that these are your neighbors, these are people you grew up with, that you are selling these goods to, that might even, you know, result in fatalities. So those conversations, I think it also wakes them up a little bit too, for them to understand that the compliance drive is not necessarily just to be strict and be punitive, but to also raise consciousness and awareness with regard to the implications of not having labels put on your products, not to disclose ingredients, and also not to pay attention where you source your goods in order to make sure that the people who consume the products that you sell are kept safe. So just to build that level of consciousness and understanding, and also the pushback from communities where they say, you know, you will be killing small businesses when you take away the sale of these chips. The argument is the requirements for labeling has never been that you must use expensive labeling. Just for you to understand what is in the food that you sell, what is in the chips that you sell, to pay attention where you source your products, and also to ensure that the labeling, even from source, is there on the products that you sell. Because the importance of this is that even you as a spaza owner, you are aware of what you are giving to the people. The food business can be dangerous if it's only about money. It's not the consciousness of knowing that whatever that people consume affects their health, affect their well-being, and can actually be fatal.
I'm going to ask that you maybe take a listen to some of the calls coming through. You've got some calls coming through. I think that line is... All right. Sunny Boy, you're in Johannesburg. You want to ask a question. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and good evening to Prudence.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sunny Boy. Welcome.
Prudence, do you love South Africa?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Now I'm going to just go somewhere at Pemelo just before now so that Prudence can understand where I'm coming from. You see, I grew up in the cake industry. I know that industry. We used to have so-called white people, they call them import. So those people were coming in the township, big people. They are still in a certain way. And then
Sunny Boy, now we can't hear you because you've moved around, Sunny Boy. Sunny Boy? Sunny Boy. Okay, I'm going to try one last time. Sunny Boy, are you still there? Okay, we're going to have to let him go and try and see if we can't get him on a better line. I just want to ask, Ms. Muilwa, that you know you were explaining earlier on that you have, across the board, compliance being very, very low. In your view, I mean, you said you started some of the inspections yesterday in Naledi, and yet there was no deterrence in a way. Where do you think the loopholes then are?
You know, I think this is a conversation that we need to have as a country. I mean, we've been having the conversations as a commission throughout the day, wherein, on the one hand, you have South Africans who are saying, please don't touch our spaza shops because they are convenient, which is understandable. And we have other South Africans also saying that these chips are their source of living. And I was about to explain just around the compliance requirement. The intention of the legislation was never to make it onerous on business. And that is what I wanted to emphasize in terms of the compliance requirement, especially around labeling. And that is why I was emphasizing the place of source, to say the manufacturers, distributors, as well as the spaza owners need to be aware of the fact that whatever it is that they produce ends up either on the plates of South Africans or in the mouths of South Africans, and it can be fatal. So the conversations that need to happen between distributors, spaza owners, as well as manufacturers, is as follows, that whatever, whoever is manufacturing for you to source from, have conversations around their levels of compliance in ensuring that food is labeled in terms of the expiry date, as well as the ensuring that the food that is sold is properly labeled. And that is where the importance about all this is coming from. Because what we are starting to now come alive to is the fact that especially these chips that are sold in bulk that are then repackaged. The normal practice is to buy the big packet and then repackage them in the various spaza shops for purposes of on-selling them to consumers. The question then becomes, how long have they been kept? Where have they been kept? What are the processes that are used to follow the repackaging especially? Because some of the issues is whenever you then look at the cleanliness around the spaza shops, that becomes questionable. The fact of the matter is the possibilities is there that some of the contamination might be happening.
During repackaging,
it might be from source, but also the issue of repackaging as well might be affecting the products themselves, because if there is no certificate of acceptability in terms of the environment and the handling of the product itself, then it brings into question the whole value chain in terms of what products are now being sold. So that is why we want the support of South Africans in order to try and eradicate this problem.
Ms. Mulo, can I just ask you to pause, because we do have Sunny Back Boy back here. I want us to just get through that question so that you can continue. Sunny Boy, I think your line is better now.
Thanks, Tamana. No, I was just wanted to ask Prudence. In the olden days, when the white inspectors were coming in, you would feel that the inspectors are there and everything will go in or will run in order, even if they are there or not there. But now, what I see in the ANC government, everything is lacking, Prudence. There is not that that full force now whereby we know that Prudence, they are coming from this department, and we know when they arrive in the area, definitely sure, they will be making some arrest or they will be closing some shops. Because my understanding or my take at this thing, Epomelo, it's Abu Prudence, I'm just saying, but I don't know, you correct me if I'm wrong. Abu Prudence, they are just doing it now, because now we are putting more pressure on them, because even if these people that are owning Spaza shop, especially the foreigners, you don't see them at Macro. You don't see them at Chicken Pay. You don't know where they are getting their food from. You know, Pamela, I've got something that I think I'd like to send it to you. I don't know which number I would send it to you, so that you can just view that thing and see what these people are doing to us as South Africans. You understand? So that, when it comes to this thing of equality, you have to have equality. You have to have inspectors. Okay, let me just see. But it's fine, Prudence. Carry on, my sister, because tonight, a government is failing us. Dismally, it's failing us.
Sure. Prudence, you want to respond to that?
Yeah. Look, I think just in terms of the nuances around what happened in the past and all that, I won't comment on that. But what I will say in terms of what we're doing on the ground is that there have been arrests, number one. Number two, there have been spaza shops that have been closed in the past 2 days, especially in Naledi. I also know that the same is happening in Buffalo City, where in the team, the multidisciplinary team in terms of their mandates, have been closing the spaza shops that are non-compliant. And especially where they find maybe foreign nationals without documentation, immigration would then move in to deal with those people accordingly. There have been arrests in instances where there is also criminal conduct that has been found in those spaza shops. Equally, the police have been doing their job as far as that is concerned. So food that is non-compliant has been removed from the shelves, and certificates in terms of compliance have been issued by various officials, and there will be follow-ups. So from the enforcement perspective, in terms of this drive, so I feel like they have served a purpose. Though it obviously, in the light of what has transpired, it's very difficult to then say they have been successful, because these incidents are still coming out. There is also, I think, just with the level of passion that I hear Sunny Boy coming with, I think there is also that discussion around not only consumer behavior, but also supplier behavior as well. And when I started, I did indicate that the conversations that we are having on the ground, even as we do these inspections, is to talk to the community themselves, who have honestly come back to say, look, we also still need these spaza shops. We also still need to have these chips. And we also do emphasize to say, the law requires that you know what you're eating, and we can protect you, but we also need to have responsible consumer behavior. So let us all work together, as law enforcement, as well as South African consumers, including also the suppliers on the ground, to make sure that we all ensure that the food that is sold is of good quality and is good for consumption for consumers. This is a very serious issue, Pamela, if I may say. The commission takes it very seriously, and I believe other enforcement agencies as well. And yes, because of this incident, there have been an uproar, and we understand, and we are also equally affected by this situation. These are our families as well, you know, in these areas. And that is why, with a lot of passion, we are moving ahead and ensuring that we do the best we can to protect the lives of South Africans.
We've got Ntata Selby on the line from Orange Farm. Ntata Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo and Prudence. How are you?
We good. How are you, Ntata Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure, Pamelo.
Oh, that's good. Lovely hearing from you, Ntata Selby. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, Pamelo, I think the commissioner have to go back and search where these snacks are being manufactured, where this food are being manufactured, because... last time I told you that my wife nearly died because of snacks that she bought. It was inside its original package.
Mm-hmm.
It was not being taken out of, and it was not yet expired. Now, they have to go and check as to how are these people manufacturing this thing? How is the place where they are manufacturing it? And Prudence say we must love life. You know, you can't control, you can't put the responsibility in the hand of a poor man and a hungry somebody. People are taking food out of a rubbish bin and eat because they don't have money. Now, we buy from these pasta shops because their prices are less, not because we like what we buy from them. We buy from them because we can't afford the right thing. That is what. But if those passers are no more there, then we'll be obliged to buy the right thing. Mm. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Dr. Selby. Prudence?
Yeah. No, I agree with Selby. There's certainly a role to play. You know, we also would want, you know, the township economy to grow. And that is why we are emphasizing on compliance. As I said, our approach is to promote compliance, but in cases also ensure that we build awareness around these issues. I think the socioeconomic situation, we're all aware of it. We're all going through it. But the issue is that the emphasis on responsible consumer behavior was not meant to alleviate the responsibility of enforcement officials such as ourselves from doing their job. In essence, what I'm saying is that the multidisciplinary team on the ground, as well as we will continue as the commission with the national drives, will also require, you know, a joint effort, I think, from all South Africans, you know, in ensuring that we look after ourselves. And it's well understood with regard to the situation that Selby has described. That is why we're having a conversation with the Spaza owners as well. While we are, some were arrested, some were closed, but in some way we see that at least the level of compliance is at acceptable levels. We still had the conversations with the Spaza owners with a view of building that consciousness of saying, we don't want Spaza shops closed. We want to promote compliance so that we keep all of us safe. So it's that kind of approach that we are taking.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of approach that we're also trying to encourage in our communities. So we don't want eradication of Spaza shops altogether, but we want them to comply with the regulations, especially of labeling, especially of not selling goods that have expired, so that we all remain safe. Yes.
You know, I think the where there's a disconnect, and this is not directed at you, but where there's a disconnect amongst, you know, in entity commissions like yourselves, Department of Health, and many, many other stakeholders, City of Johannesburg, and all of those, is that while everybody takes responsibility for doing what they need to do, and sometimes we do see officials come out and do what you did today and yesterday, it doesn't seem to have impact. You know, you would be told, and we would see that, yes, there were arrests and so on. But somehow, it's not sustainable. And I think that's a bigger conversation to be had. While you still educate some vendors, some spaza shop owners and the like, there does seem to be a disconnect between you being present today, let's say in Naledi, and next week, where the people in the community feel like, yes, you were there last week. We saw some law enforcement agencies come in and all of that. But next week, while you are in Lesukisiki, things continue as if you were never there. So we need to talk about sustainability and what would be the deterrent for, you know, that would not allow people to continue in this manner and put people's lives at risk.
No, correct. Obviously, the coordinated efforts are, in my view, assisting. And as I indicated before, the intention of our inspection is to make sure that after we move out, the environmental health officials on the ground continue with the inspections. Because what I also have not mentioned in emphasis with what I've seen with my own eyes today is that in their issuance of the compliance notices in terms of the Health Act, they would then make an appointment to come back later. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, to say that inspections are now becoming what the order of the day, number one. Number two, we have also noted from even leaders on the ground of the movement and the changes around regulation that I can't talk to now because obviously it's not within my purview. In order to improve compliance with regulation by the spaza shops as well as shop owners on the ground, we've also seen that Gauteng has put together a food safety response team that will continue to work and look at the issues. I think, as I've already indicated, we joined Gauteng in Tembisa when the MEC of Economic Development was launching the drive within the province. So we are seeing those kinds of differences and approach in order to have continuous inspections on the ground. And you're quite correctly that this kind of what is called blitz that are, you know, not sustainable, where it happens during an occasion and then, you know, we move out and then nothing happens. But slowly but surely, I think we're moving towards the awareness that there is a need to properly support, especially the environmental health practitioners on the ground. That's a move that we're seeing where municipalities are starting to empower them and give them more resources. And also, I think the police coming alive to their roles in terms of the Health Act in ensuring compliance with the Health Act as well. So I think the more of this that we do, and also like the National Consumer Commission is doing now with these continuous national drives, wherein it's not just a program for World Consumer Rights Day, for example, and it's a continuous program. So we're always on the ground in order to ensure that these inspections are encouraged at every turn. I think eventually we will get to a point of where the systems and, you know, the consciousness and compliance amongst the supply is such that they know we can come at any time and we come continuously. So I think while it is moving, it might seem like it's moving slowly, but we are seeing pockets of change wherein, you know, officials, local, provincial, as well as national government is moving towards supporting these officials that do the good work.
I've got Lunga in Johannesburg calling in. Lunga, good evening and welcome.
Hi. Hi, how are you, Minister? Hello?
Go ahead, Lunga.
I'll just say one thing. From the comments that the minister made and mentioned after the death, it just shows that the state is toothless. It just shows that the state, that now South Africans are the ones who took us to court and people are dying and the state cannot take those people that took us to court, into the high court, to defy those statements that they make. It just shows that they're statements. But what does the Constitution say? If you are a foreign immigrant, how much are you supposed to invest? That just shows that those people that don't even have those amount of money, and at that time, those people just come with 1,000 rand or 2,000 rand and invest in the township just to buy or sort out South Africans who cannot even afford or just can't even have the luxuries, but they are now bribing them with all these monies, and the state is now all of a sudden listening to Siri, listening to Helen Suzman, listening to all these foundations when they take them to court, and they're saying, we tried, but we can't do this, but the state are the ones who formed this constitution. It just shows that now the state is becoming toothless, and we are being controlled by these foundations who are being controlled. But nonetheless, I'm just saying to everyone, to those people who are in parliament, it's not your kids who consume this food. It's not your kids that live in the township, and that's why you are not affected. And hence, you guys, you will never, ever understand the suffering of the lower-income people.
I just want to say,
and this clear stand that you did there already today, we all just laughing at it because we know next week those people will come back and make.
All right. Prudence Lunga left. I think the line dropped. But yes, I did say you're not the minister. You are National Consumer Commission Head of Compliance. So just so that people know exactly who you are. I don't know if you want to respond to that. Prudence?
Hello?
Perhaps you're parting shot alongside commenting on. So Lunga, I suppose, is saying it seems to me like he is in Naledi. They clearly don't have faith in the fact that, you know, after you leave, things will improve.
Yeah, look, I think the level of frustration with the situation is understandable. I think, you know, from the commission's perspective, I mean, the focus, as I've indicated, on foodstuffs and you know, the inspections themselves is literally informed by our worry and our concern around this incident. And we also look at it that while it might seem like it's insurmountable, the issue is that so long as we all put our heads together, we did also emphasize on the issue of collaborative efforts, that we can't do it by ourselves, obviously. But we also need to you know, just still push ahead and make sure that the work is being done. And it's very understandable. I think the community's feelings, especially when lives have been lost, cannot be, you know, brushed aside. And also, we need to also be a responsive, you know, institutions to this type of situation, and hence what the conversations that we are having on the ground. I mean, the level of frustration expressed by Seth, it's in line with some of the conversations that we're having with the communities on the ground. We want to say to the communities, we are here, we are continuing with the inspections, and we will, in terms of what the law allows, be able to ensure various legislations in terms of our mandates. And we also want to say to communities, let us work together. Please also report incidents to the National Consumer Commission, to the police, to institutions that have been put in place in order to protect you as South Africans. And I think, you know, there will be movement. There will be, before we get to total compliance, there will be improvement in the quality as well as the safety of foodstuffs in the shops.
One of the things we didn't touch on is the trust of the officials, for instance. So yes, where there would be visibility of inspection happening, and what we've been hearing all week is that no, the community doesn't even trust the officials that come to inspect. So I'm not pointing to you again. We spoke to Environmental Health, for instance, who do those regular inspections, and community members saying no. You know, these people come and take a bribe. They say the same thing about the police and so on. So there needs to be even that introspection within yourselves about who undermines the efforts of the greater good.
Yes, definitely. I think institutions of enforcement always have to do an introspection on ensuring that they have measures in place for to avoid this type of thing where people take bribes or people do not fully enforce because they are on the take. I can tell you now, as the National Consumer Commission, we are committed to not only clean governance, but also to ensuring that our inspectors do everything above board. And I think it's an ongoing thing. And I think even with on an ongoing basis, instilling ethical behavior on enforcement arms of government is an ongoing thing, and we encourage it. But I want to assure you that even with the multidisciplinary teams, because we are all looking at each other, you know. And I think the nice thing about coordination or moving forward in coordinated efforts is that everyone is looking at each other. I mean, we come from different entities and we work together in ensuring. For example, when we walk into a spaza shop, when our inspectors are looking at issues of pricing, at the issue of labeling, on the issues of packaging, other inspectors are then in the same shop asking for certificates of acceptability, checking for the passports and all that. So that coordinated effort, when we move out of a store, we all have a sense of what has been recorded, and even talking about it now, and the reports that we take back to the offices, there is no way that they can be ignored. So that mistrust, I think, can be balanced by the fact that the coordinated efforts at least encourage that we all look at each other while we perform our various functions. And also, I think the levels at which we pitch it, when we have at least even my office being on the ground to ensure that officials do what is supposed to be done.
All right, let's leave it there. Really, thank you for your time. Head of Compliance at the National Consumer Commission, Prudence Mwilwa.
These are stories you need to know today.
The Usindiso Building Inquiry has heard that hijacked and dilapidated buildings in the Johannesburg CBD should...
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.